Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day to all you mamas out there, especially to my baby mama. I love you, girl, for giving me some beautiful babies. And to my mommy, she's here too. I want to welcome you to Eastlake Church, Imperial Beach. My name is Armando, and you've picked a great weekend to join us. We're on a series titled, Why Church?, where we're looking at church in a new light. And many of us even come to church and we don't really know what church is all about. It's just something we've been doing. Even me as an adult for a long time, I just came to church as a thing I did. I grew up going to church and I'm thankful that I did because it built a really good foundation. But as a young kid, when you grow up going to church, it just become a thing you do. And then in my late teenage years and young adult years, I was hurt by a church. So since church was a thing I did, I just pretty much abandoned it. Because of my foundation, I believed in Jesus. I just didn't really care about the church or knew what the church was all about. Now I'm a pastor. What an irony. That is life. But you know, church was something I did. Just like some people play sports, I grew up in the church. And I thank God for my parents. I thank God for the love of a mom who's consistent and a dad who's consistent in inviting you and saying, hey, you should check out, you should come with us to this church called Eastlake Church. At the time, it was in our Chula Vista location. And I started attending. I hid in the crowd. I wanted no one to know me like some of you are right now. You're like, please don't look my direction. And through that, I got to get connected in the church and I got to know other people. And I came to see that church is not what I thought it was. That church could be a place where people are led to the freedom that God wants from them. That is meant to be much more than we think, not just some place we come. That church is, when we gather together like this, that God is present, He's active, He's working in this midst, He's moving to changes. We can encounter Him, we can learn about Him, we can connect with other people, and then we could grow with other people as well. But still, even at that point of knowing all of that, I still didn't have a clear idea what church is all about. I still thought, in some sense, inside of me, church is just something I go to. I didn't really know what church is about. Eventually, I came to see that that was not the case, that it's not just something you come to. I came to see that the church is the gathering of the people of God. The church is not a building. It's the church is the people of God gathered together to do three things which we learned last week. We gather together to worship God. We gather together to be able to help each other grow in our love for God and our love for others. And then we gather together to be the hope of the world. Jesus didn't come to create places that we gather in. He came to create a family that you could belong to, that you could be known, that you could be accepted, that you could be a part of, that you are included in and chosen to be in. And my prayer for you today is that as we go through this series, you come to see church in a new light, not just as something that you do, but something that you are. The church is a place where we are to be known, loved, encouraged, inspired towards love and good deeds. This is what our theme verse of this series, Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, reminds us of. And we're going to read this out loud together with our outside voices because you know that your mama wants to hear you read a Bible verse or two. Ready? Go. Let us consider how to inspire each other to greater love and to righteous deeds, not forgetting to gather as a community, as some have forgotten, but encouraging each other, especially as the day of His return approaches. When we gather, we don't gather to check the box of, I went to church. We gather to inspire each other towards love and righteous or good deeds. We gather to be encouraged. And the only way that that's possible, that we are encouraged, is if we're known. And the reality is that we all need to be encouraged. John Maxwell, who's a leader, a great leader, he says that if you are breathing, you need encouragement. So if you're breathing, you need encouragement. And this past week alone, life, we know that it can be hard. And this past week alone, I found myself doing exactly that. Multiple conversations with multiple people, different times of the week, just to encourage them to keep walking forward. Yes, it's hard, but persevere. Yes, it's hard, but God is calling you. Yes, it's hard, but God has a better plan. Yes, it's not what you thought it was going to be right now. But if you trust God and you walk towards Him, it will turn out better. Life is hard. And when it gets hard, you know what we're all tempted to do? The first thing we're all tempted to do is just to do it our way. Is to go our way. And we need people in our life that's going to encourage us to seek God, to seek His guidance, and to seek His way. And when we do that, even when we have to make a decision that is hard, we end up making a decision that has God's guidance, which leads us to a better result. So we need each other if we're going to walk this faith out. That's why today's message is titled The Catapult Effect. And here's today's big idea. If you're taking notes, you could write this down. Why church? To connect authentically. As I've been saying, the church is not a place we come to, but the people of God gather together to worship together, encourage each other, and to do life together. And we do that in multiple ways here in our church. We do it like this today in a large group setting where we gather. But we also do it throughout the week in smaller gatherings that we call growth groups. And some of us meet with two or three people during the week to do life together over coffee and laugh and just encourage each other towards good deeds. And if we're going to be encouraged towards love and good deeds, we need to be known. That doesn't mean that you meet someone today and then you go and you spill your entire life to them. You're like, well, he said, I need to be known. What's your name? Jeffrey? Okay, awesome, Jeffrey. My name is Armando. I'm so glad to meet you. Let me tell you all about my life. And they're like, oh my gosh. And you know what's going to happen the next time they see you walking into church? They're going to grab their phone and it's like, someone's calling me, y'all. Walk to the bathroom just to avoid you like the plague. It doesn't mean share your life. Getting to know someone, it means share appropriately. But what I mean by that is that you should get to a place and a point in your time in church where you let other people get to know you. And some people should know more about you. Let me use a metaphor in order to explain it. I'm going to use a picture of an iceberg. It's a picture of an iceberg. What we normally see on an iceberg is 10%, the 10% that's above the water. Over 90% of the iceberg is actually under the water, it's below the waters. And this is normally how we present ourselves to people. We want to present to people only the very best. Here's my 10%, my nice smile, my life is put together. And this is why you date people for a while. Because if you only date for like 3 months, you're like, my, the love of my life, I'm going to marry you. And then 3.5 months into it, you're like, ooh, thank you, Jesus. She broke my heart, but I'm glad she did because I didn't know it was a hot mess. And I also think that one of the reasons that we all love social media is the same factor. We're only looking for that 10%. We're scrolling through it just to see the good things. And I follow certain people intentionally that I'm praying over, and that's the best way that they have to communicate with us. So I follow it. But the reality is that most of the time, I just kind of want to scroll and I stop when I see something good because all of us are looking for like that moment or that's cool or the yikes. Thank God that's not my life because we only want to see the good. We want to see what's above the waters. Now, this 10% that we're showing to people is not a bad thing. It's part of who we are, but it's not really fully who we are. And my question to you is this. Who sees you for who you are? Not just for what you show, but for who you are. And again, not everyone is meant to know everything about you. Not everyone is meant to see the entire iceberg. But we should develop some spiritual friendships in our church where we have people that actually see more of who you are and see more of the iceberg than other people. Because here's the reality. Often what is unseen, that 90% that is hiding, is what causes us to stumble and is normally what is weighing us and taking us down. But when we bring to God what is happening inside of our hearts and we bring it to another Christian, another person that's walking together with you in this faith walk, and you bring it to them and you say, here's what's going on in my life. You know what happens when you come out of hiding? The power of that thing that's hiding below the waters is lost over your life. It loses the power because you called it out. And in calling it out, you're saying, yeah, this is a thing that I'm fighting with. but it doesn't define me. So I'm telling you so that I could walk out of this. And you, in doing that, in coming out with another person that's a Christian, are able to experience the love of God in that place and even healing. And all that through coming out to another person. See, spiritual growth is a community project. The church community is where we learn to love God and others. It's the single best place to grow and to change. Authentically connecting to genuine Christian community helps catapult us from spiritual stagnation to spiritual transformation. And that comes when we allow others to know us. Otherwise, how is anyone going to know if they need to encourage us if we never let them know that we are down? How is anyone going to inspire us if they don't know what's going on in their life? How is anyone going to encourage us to persevere forward when we're having marital problems or a terrible financial situation or we feel that our habits are dragging us down? How is anyone going to encourage us and push us forward towards love and good deeds if they don't know what's going on? So again, the question that I have for you is this. Who have you allowed to see you? Who are you seeking to connect with authentically? Who are you building spiritual friendships with? Who in your life is allowed to see more than the 10% that you show and encourage you forward towards love and good deeds? In our large gatherings like this, what we hope to do, what I'm hoping to do right now, is to inspire you and encourage you to say, yes, I should be known. And that's a good thing, but it's not the best thing. It's not enough. We need people in our lives that know us individually and know which areas of our heart and life we're struggling with. And then who could come along us and encourage us to move forward and even hold us accountable in those areas that we're struggling with. That's why in our church, we gather in a large group setting like this to be encouraged and to learn and to be inspired to take the next right step. But we also gather in smaller settings, or we join a ministry team so that we are known and other people know, like, yeah, I'm known. And eventually we develop those relationships, or we meet to have coffee with two or three people where we're just doing life together. But we need to be open to connecting authentically with others so that we could grow spiritually. We need others to help us walk through life. Romans 12:1. This is on your outline or on the screen. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around mom life. It's not there, but you know what it is, mom. You do a lot of things for us. So take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Now, this verse is not about relationships. It's about us as individuals, taking all of who we are, our complete self, from the smallest of things to the largest things in our lives, and bringing it all up before God, presenting it to God, which means this. If you're taking notes, you could write this down. Authenticity means owning all that we really are. Authenticity means owning all that we really are. I have to recognize all of who I am and bring it before to God. And I also have to respond to God's invitation for me to be open, to open myself to other people who will help me grow and be encouraged and inspired towards love and good deeds and towards Jesus. We need both. We need to own who we are. And then we need other people who know more about us if we're going to experience the catapult effect of growing our spiritual faith and going further. And God created us, all of us, from the start to be in relationships. He created us, each of us, uniquely to contribute uniquely into each other's lives. We need each other and we help each other in a unique way to follow Jesus. You and I both have an individual mandate, you could say. If you're a Christ follower, you have an individual mandate to encourage other people towards love and good deeds. And I think that's a good thing. especially you mamas, you're always encouraging all of us guys, all of us sons and husbands, you know, like towards love and good deeds. And, you know, like my wife has four children and I'm one of them. I'm not afraid to admit it. But we all need that. We are all called. We all have that individual mandate to encourage people towards love and good deeds. Look at this scripture in Romans 12, 4 through 6. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning, underline that or circle that. And function, underline that as well or circle it if you're doing circles. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. That's a pretty big statement. That we find our meaning and function only as a part of the body of Christ. And the word body right now is being used as a metaphor for the church. So we find our meaning and function as a part of Christ's body, the church. Apart from it, apart from being part of the body of the church, what happens? But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? In other words, if we think we could do this by ourselves, we haven't realized how foolish of an endeavor it is. So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. In other words, own who you are and who Jesus shaped you to be. And if we are to embrace who we are and who Jesus shaped us to be, that also means that we have to embrace other people as they are and as Jesus shaped them to be. Which leads us to number one. Connecting authentically invites me to acknowledge our differences. This means that we have to be willing to embrace that you have certain quirks that are unique to you and that I have certain quirks that are unique to me. And that's okay. And I'm not talking about sin here. I'm talking about personal traits like likes and dislikes, not sin. So for example, what I'm referring to is what kind of music do you like? So you like hardcore rap and I like bluegrass. That's okay. That's you, your quirk, my quirk. I thought that people were going to be like, he likes bluegrass? I don't. If we are to build friendships, spiritual friendships, where we are known and loved and cared and encouraged towards love and good deeds, we have to accept each other and love each other as well as help each other grow in our love for God and our love for other people better. And we have to avoid this running perception in our culture that in order for us to be friends, we have to agree in everything. That if you disagree with anything I say, we're not friends. That's not truly friends if you agree with everything. One of you is probably being a fake person and not really sharing what you feel. You're just staying quiet because you think if I let him know or I let her know what I think, they're going to walk away from me. That's not a true friendship. True friendship calls us to embrace our differences. A true friend embraces who you are, who uniquely you are. And we can do so. The only way we could embrace other people and see their differences is because of Jesus. Jesus becomes the glue and the center that holds our relationships and the example we base our relationships on. So if we're going to know someone truthfully and meaningfully, we will soon find out that they're different than we are. And that's a good thing. Is there uniqueness that actually makes a relationship worth it? Now, of course, you also have things in common with your friends. That's part of the things that bond you together. But you also, in order to be a true friend, have to come to embrace the other person that's different than you. One of my friends actually shared last week, he said, unless I have argued with you and we're still hanging out and talking, we're not friends. That's a crazy definition, because if you think I have to embrace the perception and the reality that unless that if we disagree, if we have a disagreement or an argument between us about our ideas or points of view, we can't be friends, you can never be true friends with someone. But anyone that's married, and all you mamas know that you love your children despite the fact that they disagree with you in everything. Do this. No, mom. Do this. No, mom. Clean your room. No, mom. Pick up your books. No, mom. And thank God they don't say, screw you, mom. Not yet, unless you have a teenager. And I'll be praying for you. So we have to recognize the differences and just accept them as something good that contributes good to our relationships. Which leads us to number two. Connecting authentically invites me to embrace the mess. When we choose to embrace our differences, it means that we are choosing to embrace the mess that that brings. And the reality is that the mess comes in the moment that you enter in. Like, what? You're insulting me? Just kidding. The mess really comes in the moment that I enter in. It's when I come into a relationship that the mess comes in. Actually, what I mean is this. We're all broken people who are learning to love Jesus better and who are learning to love. So the moment that two broken people get together and try to be friends, there's going to be some kind of mess. And that's okay. We have to embrace it. We are learning how to love. We are learning to become people that love better. And that calls me to embrace you in your mess. And the only way that we could embrace each other is because it's a reflection of what Jesus did for us. Jesus embraced us when we were utterly helpless, when we were in our own mess. When we came to Jesus, we had to admit that we didn't have our lives all together. That each of us is that one sheep that Luke 15 talks about. That Jesus had 100 sheep and one sheep wandered away and got lost. And he left the 99 to go get that lost sheep and celebrate it. When we come to Jesus, we have to acknowledge, I am that one sheep that was lost. Jesus never said, get it together, then come to me. Or, once your mess is gone, then we can talk. Jesus entered into our mess so that we could experience wholeness. And in order for us to grow in our love for God and others, we have to be willing to embrace the mess, even if it means chaos at times. We embrace the mess because Jesus embraced us in our mess. That's how we get the strength, the love, the peace, the grace to be able to embrace another person, when we realize that Jesus embraced me in my mess and he's helping me change. I could embrace this person in love because Jesus embraced me, and through my love, I could help him or her get to be transformed. But we have to see that the mess is not the end and that the mess does not define the relationship. The one that defines the relationship between us as Christians is Jesus and the love of God for one another. That's what we read in Romans 12. In the body of Jesus, that's the church, each part finds its meaning and function in relation to Jesus. And because of that, we're able to embrace our differences and experience spiritual growth. Lastly, number three. Connecting authentically invites me to go beyond where I am. If I'm going to connect authentically with people, and if I'm going to grow spiritually, then I have to be willing to jump into relationships. And when I do so, I find that relationships have this capacity to help me go further. There's an African proverb or wise saying that says this. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. You want to get somewhere fast? Sure, go. You could do it fast, but who's going to sustain you and who's going to help you when you run out of energy? Who's going to push you forward towards where you're going? If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Life can be hard, but God has not left us alone to go through the difficulties of life. First of all, he's given us his Holy Spirit who lives inside of us and is working in us towards his good, towards his desires. And secondly, he has given us each other so that we could help each other walk forward, to inspire each other towards love and good deeds in the good times and in the bad times. But will you let yourself be known? Would you choose to connect authentically with other people that are walking this out and develop some spiritual friendships? And maybe you're not a Christ follower. You're like, dude, I'm checking this church thing out. Like, I don't even know if I believe in Christ. I don't even know if Like, Christ is the same as Jesus? I didn't know that. That's okay. Like, you're hearing this and you're going, so wait, so Christianity is calling me to a deeper way of belonging. In saying that I don't actually have to have these superficial ways where I'm trying to pretend that I'm someone I'm not, just to please someone. It's saying that I'm invited to be known and loved as I am. And I would encourage you, try that. Just get to know the people here, give it a chance, get to know and see what the community of God looks like. And my hope is that we embrace our closing verse as a way to live with each other. Romans 12:9. Love others well and don't hide behind a mask. Love authentically. I love that verse. Love others well. Love others well. Let us come out of hiding and stop hiding behind our masks so that we can experience a change that God desires for our lives. And as we love one another, it is our love for one another, how we love each other, that is the best way to let people know who Jesus is and what he came to do. But we must choose to go beyond ourselves. We must choose to come out of hiding and to let ourselves be known, to develop maybe two or three spiritual friendships. So maybe that means that you make some new friends here, that you decide to take that step and say, okay, I'm just going to get to know someone. It doesn't mean I'm going to go have coffee with them. It doesn't mean I'm going to go meet them during the week. But it means that this, today, I'm just going to take the step of saying hello to one new person, to a new person. And since it's Mother's Day, just asking some simple questions. Hey, what's your name? Jeffrey, are you a mom? Sure. You never know. You never know. Names are different. But I want to invite you to get to be known. Maybe it's plugging into a ministry team or joining one of our growth tracks so that you could go ahead and be known. Get out of hiding. Let yourself be known so that you could be encouraged towards love and good deeds. Because we all need the encouragement. I want to invite the band right now up. We're going to move into a time of worship when I want to give us the opportunity for all of us to just kind of open our hearts to God. Last week we used the imagery of a ship, a sailboat, of opening our cell and saying, okay, God, here I am. What do you want to do in me? As I said earlier, Jesus entered into our mess so that we can experience wholeness. So through these two songs, that's exactly what I want to give you the opportunity to say, Jesus, here I am. I want to thank you that you enter into my mess so that I could experience wholeness. And as I open myself, would you give me the strength, the love, the grace that I need to embrace the other? Will you give me the ability to love that person that's so different than I am? Will you give me the courage to come out of hiding and to let myself be known by one or two people who could encourage me to walk forward during the hard times? If we're going to connect authentically in relationships, it's only going to be possible if we connect first with God. It's our relationship with Jesus that gives us the love and the power to embrace another person. The church is not a place we come to, but it's the people we go to. The church is you and I, who together are growing in our love for God, our love for one another, and shining that out to other people, that you are not alone, that you belong, and you are welcomed. Will you stand with us? I'm going to pray for us, and I want to ask you again to open your heart to what God wants to say to you, and then we're going to worship through these two songs. Jesus, I want to thank you that you enter into our mess so that we could experience your wholeness. Help us to live lives that are connected with one another, being able to reflect to one another your love for us. Help us to come out of hiding and to not be afraid to be known by two or three people. Help us to find those relationships that bring life and help us to be inspired and encouraged forward towards love and good deeds. And as we get ready to worship, meet us with your love, strength, grace, and peace. Our hearts are open to you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.